Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Mini camp yesterday for the Texans. C.J. Stroud threw. That was the big news. He threw well. D'Amico Ryans asked after the practice, was there a shift in morale in getting C.J. back under center, throwing the football around?
Today, I think C.J.'s first play, he made a big throw on a corner route. And you saw the energy. You saw the competitiveness of C.J. talking a little smack to the defense. Like, I love that back and forth that happens, and CJ definitely added some energy to our practice, added some energy to the offense. Guys are doing well, but I think you see when you have game changers, and that's what CJ is, and he instantly changed the, I think just the vibe of the entire practice changed having CJ out there and seeing him make the plays he was able to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, the connection with Jaden Higgins, especially the one
we'll get to him next. Yeah, dude, and, that was something.
The Texans have the Instagram video of that, yeah. And is just you can watch when Jaden Higgins, just the way he moves as a bigger guy, there's a silkiness to it, and he has very, very sure hands. So it's hard not to get excited about CJ when he places the ball the way he's placing the ball. And having a guy like Jaden Higgins opposite of Nico Collins. And D'Amico spoke very positively about Jaden Higgins yet again. He's done that a couple times so far this offseason. I'm very careful about what I get excited about during mini camps. But there's a part with Jaden Higgins where it feels – just everybody settle down before I say this. I got excited about DeAndre Hopkins during mini camps and training camp because you could see how some of the skill set transfers immediately. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that Jaden Higgins is going to be DeAndre Hopkins, but when you just simply have length and catch radius and good hands, it's hard to screw that up as long as you've also got other good receiving threats on the field.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you have. As long as CJ is healthy, throw the ball well, they're going to find a way to I shouldn't say they're going to find a way to get the ball to Jaden Higgins. Jaden Higgins is going to have opportunities this year.
Yeah, no, he will. This is what I'll tell you about Jaden Higgins, Seth, from what I saw out there. Again, I got there right at the beginning of team drills, so I don't think I missed anything, in the previous drills. All the 11-on-11 and 7-on-7 I was there for. Nico Collins had a good day yesterday. He was not the best receiver on the field yesterday for the Texans. Jaden Higgins was. Jaden Higgins made the most plays.
Yeah.
And the one-handed catch you're talking about, yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's the Texans have it on their social media. I mean, there is so much encouraging on both sides of that with CJ. That was early in practice. That was still when we're kind of watching CJ to see what everything looks like.
Yeah.
And he just dropped it right in the bucket, and Higgins makes sort of a one-handed catch going to the ground with Kamari Lassiter all over him. Like, that was the other thing too. I'm like, it was good coverage by Kamari Lassiter. Like, he was right there. You mentioned D'Amico Ryans talking about Jaden Higgins. Here was D'Amico Ryans. This is right off the top of the press conference, right after he got done talking about CJ. He was asked about Jaden Higgins.
It's been really exciting to see this Jaden's growth process in a short amount of time that he's been here. I've seen a guy who's steadily got better every single week. You've seen him make even more plays, and seeing him today, I mean, this is the most plays that he's made, and our last week of camp to see a rookie who's come in and showing right now that he could be an impact player for us. I think it means a lot, and we saw it as coaches watching this film from the college game, but I think it just means a lot to the entire team, the players, defensive players, other offensive players, actually seeing him thrive in practice, because I truly believe if you take practice the right way, deliberately, and you work at it, it'll show up in the games. And so it's really awesome to see the work that he's doing and the plays that he's making.
Yeah, he was really good. He looked like a vet out there yesterday. And we should mention Jalen Knoll was working out off to the side yesterday. I know that'll be the next question people have is, well, how did Knoll look? He's been getting a lot of praise during OTAs and rookie camp and things like that as well. He was not practicing yesterday, but he was working out with a few other guys off to the side yesterday. But Higgins looked great.
Yeah, and that is a genuine, okay, it's OTA, he's not going to worry about it. Guy's a little hammy or something.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
we go. But, I mean, it is also a reminder that, man, with the receiving core as it was last year, you gotta factor in injuries. And that's why you draft two wide receivers, you trade for Christian Kirk in the offseason. Right now, that's four guys right now that the Texans feel really good about, I think. And then they also feel good about the other, you know, Watson and Braxton Berrios and other guys that they brought in. But you don't want to have to lean on those guys every week.
Yeah.
You might need them for a few spots here and there, though. If both Jalen Knoll and Jaden Higgins develop into real top three caliber guys, and you have Christian Kirk in the building, in some weird ways, I'll feel better about this receiving core than I did last year. Despite, especially because I just hopefully Nick Caley actually knows what to do with them,
yeah,
as opposed to Bobby Slowick.
Yes.
And hopefully he has an offensive line that's blocking for CJ Stroud.
Yeah, CJ had some really good things to say about Nick Caley. We'll get to in the 7 o'clock hour. Here's CJ on Jaden Higgins yesterday.
I was a rookie 2 years ago. I understand how hard it is, how much time, how much effort you have to put in. So, you know, I try to be a leaning hand for him, and I thought they've done a great job, though. I think Luke has done a great job, Woody, and they're all doing really well. So, you know, proud of them.
Woody, I'm going to end up talking about Woody Marks a little bit later, I think, when we talk about C.J. Stroud, because there's a question about somebody – there's a question where he references Tom Brady. Oh, that they've been watching a lot of Tom Brady film.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, in drafting Woody Marks and in having an offensive coordinator who was in New England, and that's where he learned NFL football,
ooh,
if there's one maybe understated thing that Tom Brady did really, really well,
running backs.
Was to take the Rex Burkheads,
yeah,
or Leonard Fournettes of the world and turn them into the best receiving version of themselves.
Oh, Leonard Fournette when he was with Tampa. Yeah, gotcha.
They won a Super Bowl, Sean.
No, I know, but you were talking about him with the Patriots. That's
no, but it's Tom Brady's running the,
right,
you know,
right. No,
the
I get
Tom Brady
it.
Methodology.
Yep.
Of, because, and this is where the young quarterbacks struggle with this, but in actually using the running back or the check down as a threat, now including not just when they're out running, like the check down should not be your last resort. When Tom Brady would use the check down, he would be so quick with it because he could see what the coverages were and there was no delay. And we saw that last year with CJ. At times where he was either going to his third read in the progression or checking it down as a grudging last resort. Brady, what he would do so well is he would see that he didn't like the coverages he was seeing on all his primary routes, and it would come out seamlessly, like almost at the top of his drop for the check down, and then the running back is catching it. Well, everybody who's in coverage is still running backwards.
Yeah.
And that's where you end up getting, Oh, no, I can't believe it checked down on 3rd and 10. Well, if you're checking down within the rhythm of the play, then a guy like Rex Burkhead actually still has a pretty good opportunity to catch a guy on his heels, yeah, as he crosses the first down marker.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the little stuff on the margins of the psychology of it is what I hope that Nick Caley can impart to CJ is some of that, man – yeah, Tom Brady, oh, you want to criticize me for just being nothing but a timing and rhythm and check down guy? Cool. Let me punch you with 5 of my rings.
Yeah,
on my
yeah,
fingers,
no, exactly. You know? 6 Super Bowls later. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can only put 5 on his hand at any one time.
Right. Well, I don't know, man. Slide 2 onto one finger and just, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, then it becomes, that goes from
gaudy
manslaughter to murder at that point.
I like that point about the running backs. That's good. Cade Stover, Seth, looked really good yesterday. Cade Stover, if we're talking about guys that weren't major contributors last year, but at a position that I think the tight end position is really interesting to me because I think unlike running back and wide receiver and maybe one or two other positions where there's going to be some really interesting cuts on the back end, tight end feels a little more sewn up. You know, tight end, you know, Dalton Schultz is going to be probably the starter. Cade Stover, they are enthusiastic about, and yesterday's practice did nothing to dispel that. He looked really good. Brevin Jordan didn't practice yesterday. He's still coming back from the knee. but he looks like he's put on about 50 pounds of muscle in his upper body. He hasn't been able to work out his legs because he had an ACL, so clearly he's been focusing on his upper body.
He doesn't look like Joe from the Family Guy.
He was shirtless and like, who? Oh, that's Brevin Jordan. Wow. And then they draft Luke Lachey, seventh round. We'll see what happens with that. But Cade Stover looked really, really good yesterday.
Yeah, and Stover, what D'Amico talked about was how he's gotten much better at the top of his route. And that's what you hope to hear from a guy like Stover, who's only played the position for 3 years, the 2 years at Ohio State and 1 year last year as a rookie, that the jump from year one to year two, it's like, okay, he doesn't have the same level of athleticism as George Kittle.
Yeah.
But the way that guys think about current day Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is not the athlete that he once was, but he's such a savvy route runner, especially at the top of his route, and understands exactly how to use leverage and manipulate coverages, that he's still very, very effective versus the Houston Texans in particular.
Yeah.
And I think Cade Stover, people just gush about him and his work ethic and all of that. I think that he's 100% willing to learn how to block in the NFL, and I think he's eager and willing. That's perhaps one of the X factors that people in Houston will be talking about, that around the league they'd have no reason to really talk about Cade Stover, but could end up being a really, really nice development for this team if he keeps developing.
Yep. He made some plays yesterday.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, let's drop down to the offensive line here. Here's D'Amico Ryans on what do you think about the O-line right now?
You know, the hard thing about offseason program is the offense and D-line, offensive line, defensive line. There's a lot of give and take that goes with that territory there. You want to be as safe as possible in how we're working. So it's nothing to really stand out about the O-line, D-line, because we got to put pads on, right? For the big guys up front, they play a physical game. We won't know truly what we have until we put pads on, until we see these guys in training camp, see them in game action, actually get their job done.
Now, for what it's worth, there was a pretty clear first unit that they had out there again, and it's mm-hmm. the one that we've been talking about with Cam Robinson at left tackle, Laken Tomlinson at left guard, Jake Andrews at center again, and then right guard Titus Howard, and then Blake Fisher at right tackle. That's the group that was, for the most part, they had Ursary, I think, doing a little back and forth between the ones and twos, maybe, if I was watching correctly. But the clear first unit that runs out there with CJ with the ones is that left to right, those five guys.
Yeah. And I think that I don't, like I said, I don't try to get too stressed out about guys getting beat in one-on-one pass rush situations in OTAs, and especially when it's a younger guys getting beat. You clearly should be concerned about the offensive line.
Yeah.
I don't like making a summary judgment based on non-padded practices, just like D'Amico. And nobody wants to hear it, but like, as far as what, you know, it's true. That's the way D'Amico feels. D'Amico played, he was a front seven player on defense. He understands the physical side of the game. And you just have to cross your fingers and hope that you see. The one cautionary tale I always keep in mind was the way that J.J. Watt looked in that combined practice versus the 49ers against rookie Mike McGlinchey, McGlinchey looked like he should be cut that afternoon if you based on how he played versus J.J. Watt. He'd been in the league all of 2 or 3 weeks, and J.J. Watt just absolutely destroyed him. And eventually, Mike McGlinchey didn't end up being all pro or anything, but he ends up being a very, very, very viable and productive offensive tackle.
Jake Matthews, too. Jake did it to J.J. did it to Jake Matthews also in that Falcons.
That's right,
And Jake Matthews is still around 10 years later playing in the NFL.
Yeah. So when it comes to Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter taking guys' lunch money, I'm like, okay, that's – it's going to happen. Doesn't mean I'm not sitting here and saying, don't worry, those guys are going to be awesome. I just try not to overreact to it too much. And then if it comes to some of the either execution issues on the offensive line or blitz pickup or anything too, I'm still in that mode of it's a brand new offense, new terminology, new techniques perhaps that Cole Popovich as the assistant O-line coach maybe wanted to use but couldn't because it was Chris Strausser's deal. So like the last position group right now that I really want to criticize or like read too much into the OTAs is the offensive line.
So you're saying maybe we can treat the O-line like we do pitchers in spring training? Like, oh, he's just working on a sweeper right now.
So. No. We won't do that because when you do that with pitchers in spring training, it's like, oh, yeah, but it's Justin Verlander and we know who he is as a pitcher. Like, if Justin Verlander gives up 7 home runs in one inning in spring training, you just say, oh, yeah, whatever. He was working on, like you said, he's trying to tweak his changeup.
I can't do that with Jake Andrews is what you're saying?
No, you can't do it with Jake Andrews.
I can't be like, Jake Andrews is working on a slide step right now.
Is there a single guy on the offensive line right now? I would say maybe Titus Howard at right guard.
Who gets like that sort of benefit of the doubt kind of thing?
Yeah, but Titus Howard is still an unknown, really. And I talk about Titus Howard at guard almost as if he's a rookie offensive tackle who's making the transition. Because it's not like he's been brilliant as a guard.
No.
But I feel like for Titus, part of it is just actually embracing the role of guard because he's done some really good things as a guard. He's just also had some moments where he looks like a guy who's out of position playing guard.
Am I being super basic about this where I'm like, I like that he's right guard and not left guard because he was a right tackle. That was always weird to me that they were moving him over to a side of the line.
No.
Where you're having to play with your opposite hand, you know?
No, you're not being basic. I think some guys are better at it at making the transition than others, but so much of it is, I mean, your inside foot is really the key in that. A lot of, just to flip over, one analogy I've heard before was, it's like, go ahead and wipe with your left hand, you know? See how well that goes for you.
I never thought about that.
Now try to wipe with your left hand while Danielle Hunter is pass rushing you. Yeah.
Messy. All right, let's get to headlines. The Astros lose last night. We'll get to that. CJ Stroud's arm apparently works, so that's good. We'll get to that. And the Knicks, boy, the Knicks are rapidly becoming my least favorite NBA team because they hit on all the married chicks. We'll explain in headlines coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.